You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 31. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we have opened thy word. Honor it. Spirit of God, honor your. Honor all that is said and all that needs to be said. And our God will thank you, give us understanding hearts. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of our sharing together the now, N-O-W, God now, time can't be measured, we shared that together. And in the process, God's now, he sees the whole picture, and then, therefore, us, it's our turn on planet Earth, and we're going through our nows. It's time, calendar, clock, but now, we're going through the nows. Now. We're going through the nows. We're outworking what? The now, the big now. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's David. David, help us some more in the light of grabbing this, in the light of the year, and all that lies ahead. So, and here's David, and David's going to go in the midst of persecution, Saul persecuting him, hunting him down, as it were. And therefore, David's looking to God, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense, and for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Now, having said that, and as we slide along, we come to verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. Now, David, remember, David's having a hard time of it, that he isn't king. Saul's king. It's a very difficult time. Now, verse 14, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. So David, how are you handling your situation as you proceed forward in time? And David is very mindful of his times, his now, and how God was working and outworking. And therefore my times, and the word times has to do with that which occurs, the ups and downs, the easy, the hard, the shifting, the changing, the needs, the condition, the conditions, the situation, the circumstances, all of them. Not only for David, but all that's happening around David, all the things that are done, that are existing, all the doings of others, what everyone's doing around me, all that my times that I live in, are living in them, are in thy hand. So God, now. And having said that, and if we can liken it to years ago, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the poet, philosopher, the Civil War has started April 1861. At 4:30 in the morning, the Confederates started bombarding Fort Sumter. and the Civil War began. Now, it's during this time Ralph Waldo Emerson said, quote, "This time is like all times. It is a very good one, if we but know what to do with it." It's an awesome time if we just knew what to do. Now, having said that, in the light of that, my times are in thy hand. So looking at that, slide over if I can, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles and chapter 12. "And my times are in thy hand." So here's David, and God, David, his army, and everyone needs people that discern, that know the times. And God, in his wonderful grace, provided in for David and his army as time goes on. It provided for them. "My times are in thy hand." Verse 32, 1 Chronicles 12, 32. "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times," there's your word, the ups and downs, the much, the little, the things going good or bad, easy, hard, the shifting, changing. Verse 32, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." In other words, God provided a couple of hundred men that really knew what was going on. They needed that. Every war, every situation needs who knows what's going on and what are we up against and how do we handle it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, sliding over, if I can, to 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you'd recall, picking up, please, here's David's life. "My times are in thy hand." David, you had a full life, an awesome experience with God. God used David, like Moses, in a very wonderful way. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, picking up, please, in verse 30. David. I'll even read verse 29 for a little context. "Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times," there's your little word, "the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdom of the countries." Now David's times, everything that happened around him with Israel, all the other nations, all of it was there. David was in the middle of the world system. He was exercised by God in a wonderful way, and he knew his times were in God's hand, and that's what he was doing. He lived his wonderful, outworked his wonderful life trusting God. That's what he did. "My times are in thy hand." The hour, the minute, the nows that are happening, they're all there. God, my now is in your hands. Now, having said that, now, over if I can, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter 29 and in verse 11. David, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Everything belongs to you, God. Thine is the kingdom. It's your rule and your reign. O Lord, thou art exalted as head over above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, my times are in thy hand, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Remember, they're going to build the tabernacle, the temple, I should say. After this sort, for all these things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. We can't give you something that you didn't give us in the first place. Everything belongs to you, God. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, a now, a whole lot of nows ending up and answering to the now of God. For all these things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners. We're all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. In other words, you can't hang on to any day, any hour, any minute. It's all evaporating. You can't grab it. You can't hold it, as we shared last time. All of the nows have to keep happening in answer to the now, God's wonderful plan, an out plan for David's life, for all that he's doing. Now has to be outworked. Therefore, a shadow, the end of verse 15, is a shadow, and there is none abiding. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. There's nothing anywhere that doesn't belong to you, and we're custodians and stewards of it. It all is yours. When we're all done, we bring nothing in. And it's for certain we take nothing out. God, none of it's ours. None of it's ours. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so God, powerful, providing, caring, God, my times are in thy hand. David knew. God was just, he gave God the credit, understood God's grace and mercy, his holy, happy, heavenly atmosphere, God's wonderful purpose, I should say. God's doing all of these wonderful things. So David is going to say that. So when he says that, it's his history. As we look at David, is this a way of life for you? Yes. David, how long have your hands, how long have you been in God's hands? From 1 Samuel chapter 13, etc. John, verse 14. God said about David, I have found a man after my own heart who wants what I want, and all his days are going to be governed by me. I'm going to outwork my wonderful plan, my nows. I'm going to outwork them. David, did you know that? David said, yeah. I gave my heart to God. Where was your heart, David? I gave it to God. I gave it to God. God has to outwork it in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm, let's look at it. David, tell me about your life, your times. In Psalm 18. Psalm And in Psalm 18, picking up the thought, here's David looking to God. Now, David, have you made God the centerpiece? I have. Chapter 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, a shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Now, what made that verse stand out? The little word, my, M-Y. All of it's personal. We have a hymn we sing, patriotic hymn. My country, 'tis of thee. In the background of that hymn, it's mine, my country. I live in it, it's mine. David, what are you saying? God, everything is of you, and it's all yours from start to finish. It's all yours. And so therefore, the Lord is my shepherd, said David, and he's my everything. God covers all the bases. God does. So in God doing that in a most wonderful way, chapter 18. So I'm going to pick up if I can. And in verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. In other words, my times. I'm looking at how God's going to work out the life of David in the midst of Israel and the nations and everything else. God's going to work out the believer's life in the midst of everything else going on. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, 33. He setteth me upon my high places. It's God's will for my life. Verse 34. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thy wonderful gentleness has made me great. Gentleness has to do with answering God's troubling himself about David. David, you aren't a bother to me. I am going to answer. I'll trouble myself, said God, as it were, about you. I'm going to bend down and give my attention to you, my favor. That's what I'm going to do. Thy gentleness, answering. You care, I do. My times are in thy hand. Okay, so far, it's pretty simple. Wow. Chapter 37. And you'll notice, keeping the movement, verse 23. The steps of a good man, my times are in thy hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Wow. I have been young and am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. God, so you're going to go and we're going to fall down, but God's always there. No matter the thick and thin of it, the ups and downs, my times, when I'm up, when I'm down, when it's easy, when it's hard, when I'm sick, when I'm healthy, when I have everything, when I don't have anything, when everything's against me, when everything is for me, God, my times are in your hands. So the steps of a good man, the steps, God, you know, ups and downs, absolutely, absolutely. Wow. Chapter 32. David again. And David, help us. Man, remember the downtime, my times, when you fall down, Psalm 37, when you fall down, God will help you get up again. And so here's David. David goofed, and he had to go through some hard time with because of unbelief. Verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. But day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Wow. Now here he is, Bathsheba and all of that. And now God, when you fall down, we just read it, Psalm 37. God's there. God's going to pick you up. David fell down. And God's hand, God, did you disappear? No. I'm falling down. And God's got his hand there to get him up at the right time. David has to wait to outwork. Outwork is so hard to go through the dealing with life and trying to balance things and understand things and hope that they come out reasonable somehow. And it was so hard for David. He knew he sinned, but he was paying the price for it. And he would like to, and we do that to ourselves, you know. We tend to help beat ourselves a little bit if we do bad and we know we did wrong or bad or something. And we try to beat ourselves up a little bit. And that's what David did for a year. He just beat himself up, you know. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He did. And after a year time, approximately, he says, okay, enough of that. God, what am I doing? And therefore, verse 4, but day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned to the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I finally got with it. I said, what am I doing? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God's going to the cross to die for my sin. What am I doing? I need it. God, I've been forgiven. God, you died, you took my sins to Calvary cross. At least you're going to when the Lord comes to die on the cross for David. Verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I confessed. I didn't, God, that's what I did. You're going to die on the cross for my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So God, David, what are you learning? Well, God, my times are in his hands. That's how you do. It's easy, hard, stupid things I do, don't do. But God's there. God's there. I didn't get rid of God. I trusted God. Therefore, verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass, surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. And that's David. David, you can learn that. I am. My times are in thy hand. And I had to learn it. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God's going to be right there. When the things were bad, did God disappear? Did his hand disappear? Did the time, my times are in thy hand. When did that stop? It didn't. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. David, I'm going to help you get educated. Be not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. David, I'm teaching you how to walk with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, God, thou art with me. Where'd you learn that, David? Well, I had to go through. But my times were always in your hands. So I never found you missing, God. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy, there's the little verb compass as you had in verse 7, surround you, put a ring around you as it were, Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord, mercy shall surround, encompass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous. Envy and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. David has to learn. It doesn't come cheap. You have to go and learn. And that's what he's doing. Psalm 63. And David, all of it's recorded for us. Psalm 63. And again, we're going in later context, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, like Caleb and Joshua, followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. So God, you're right there. You're right there. Wow. Right there. Little kids growing up, they get hurt and everything, and the parents have to go and help them. But they're right there, usually, now. So therefore, my soul followeth, verse 8, hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, and God thank you. So Psalm 31. Back over to Psalm 31. And 31, verse 5. We read it, 31:5. Into thy hand I commit, deposit, I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord my God. What are you going to do? What are we looking at? David continued to trust God, to commit to God. God surrounded him in his grace and mercy with his saving, wonderful power. In the light of God's dying on the cross, Christ dying on the cross, and David being a believer, trusting him. And therefore David's able to go, and into thy hand I commit my spirit. And you remember our Lord's going to say it when he's finished. When he said it's all done, and then he says, last thing he says, into thy hands, quoting that, I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He finished your death. He finished your death and mine when he died on Calvary's cross. He did that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, and having that, so somehow my spirit, God has to keep us, and the believing heart needs to be knowing and showing God's wonderful, wonderful grace. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to be able to exercise. When is God not going to be there? If you're saved and you receive the Lord as your Savior, when isn't God going to be there? When isn't he going to be there? He's always there. So David, I got what you said. Into thy hands I commend my times are in thy hands, God. My times are in your hands. And I commit my spirit. I commit it all to you. The nows have to be worked out. When I fall down, when I get up, they all have to be worked out. The much and the little, the easy and the hard. So over to Colossians. And in Colossians, picking up. in your faith. Picking up, please, Colossians 1 and verse 13 in the prayer. God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, transplanted us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Wow. Verse 14. To whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So that's, David, that's what you're living with. What are you living with? I'm exercising the fact that I've been forgiven. I'm exercising the fact that I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm emphasizing something that is finished. I'm not looking for it to happen. I'm not looking to be forgiven. I am forgiven. I'm not looking to be something. I am something in Christ Jesus. I am it already. So I'm not hunting for it, and I don't need to spend 3 days looking for it. I don't need to spend 10 minutes looking for it, because God has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Over, if you would, please, in Colossians 1 and verse 27, I want to read that which you know, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And what are we doing then? What are we supposed to be doing? Who, verse 28, whom we preach, which is what we do, warning every man and teaching, I think of Hebrews and the warnings we did, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that purpose we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the assignment. What do you think of that assignment? What happens if I gave you a bunch of people and your assignment is to make them perfect like God wants them? How would you do that? How are you going to do that? That's your assignment, to make them perfect. Now, how are you going to do that? Wow. Wow. Verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the work, his working, God's wonderful working, my times are in your hands, his working, which worketh in me mightily. That's why Paul had such zip and zeal. Why? That's why he did. He didn't quit all the way to the end. He kept warning them, helping them, encouraging them. Why? Because they're supposed to be trusting God in Christ. Their times are in my hand, in God's hand. They should be trusting God. They should be. That's what it's all about. It isn't about anything else. It isn't about whatever. Whatever we could do with each other, wonderful things, and help each other, and we should, and try to do what we can. But you can't replace God. You can't replace God. God has to do what he does. And unless we keep that, think of Hebrews again, Hebrews 10, exhorting one another as you see the day approaching, provoking one another to good works. What are we doing? Because God has to make it work. My times aren't in somebody else's hand. They're in God's hands. And that's why we're looking for God to outwork his will. And all we need, that's what we need. That's what we're doing. We should be seeking to understand. Well, you didn't tell me about my problems. No. God knows about our problems. And God knows we create our problems too often than not, more than not. We need to look to God in his grace, saving grace, being forgiven and new creatures in Christ, and get on with it. Forget it. You did a stupid thing. Don't you ever say that to yourself? I say that. You know, I said, what a dumb thing. So stupid thing. You know, if we judge, think of 1 Corinthians 11, if we judge ourselves, we shall what? Not be judged. So God, that's a stupid thing. And I'm done with it. Get up and go It's hard sometimes because the thing sticks with us and keeps nagging us. But I got to give it to God. Keep giving it to God till I can say, thank you, God, I don't take it back. Remember we shared all that. God, here. Not here, God. Here, God. See? Here. Well, it's his. It never left my hand. It needs to get in his hands. That's what it needs to do. Now, so Colossians chapter 3. And you will know, please, what are we doing? Well, read it. If ye then, first class, since it's true, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't get all kind up trying to work out you now. My times are in thy hand. They have to be worked out in the light of God's now. So my moments have to be well worked in the light of God's plan and purpose for my being born on planet Earth. Verse 3. For you were dead, and your life is hid with Christ where? In God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So, God, what are we doing? We're looking to you. And we're looking to you to outwork your wonderful life. Christ is our life. Our life is in God. We need to be knowing Christ and trusting God in a wonderful way. And we need to know that God surrounds us with his wonderful, wonderful grace in his wonderful, wonderful way. And we're living in a world that's very, very troubling. And so in the process of that troubling, troubling world, so God, we need to be knowing God's hand all the day, all the days, day and night, secular, sacred. You got to do it. And the problem, God, I don't want to forget whether I'm on my feet or on the ground, fallen down. I don't want to forget your hand. I don't want to lose your hand, God. I want to be kept in the presence of your wonderful love in a most wonderful way as you outwork your goodwill in your good order in what you do. So therefore, over in Psalm 9, and in Psalm 9, Anne, may I pick up the thought, please? In the light of that, Psalm 9. Anne, if I can, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. My times are in your hand, God. In the times of trouble, you're going to be there. So here we are, oppression. Oppression has to do with the word oppression, to break in pieces, to be pressed down, to be miserable, to be it. My time are in thy hand, God. The oppression, for the oppression, all that's happening in my life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. God, you're always going to be there. So that's what we need to know over and over again. David, no matter when, part of your life, you went through bumps and bruises, but you trusted God. He's a refuge. He's a place of safety for us in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Psalm 31 again. And in Psalm 31, picking up in thought, and you'd recall, we read verse 15, my times are in thy hand, Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, make thy face to shine upon me, God. That's what I'm looking for, God. You have to go and make it shine, God. So I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you to outwork what you do. Now you're going to ask yourself, whatever God is doing, is all that God is doing good? Is God going to go put in his love, we say the highest and best, but what's your highest and best, God? God wants us to have all that he has in mind. It cost him his son. It cost him himself on Calvary's cross. So God, whatever you have in mind has to be something wonderful. It cost you an awful lot, God, and that isn't even a good way to say it. It cost you an awful lot to make happen what you want. So in your now, God, are you delighted in exercising your now? Yes, he is. So here's my nows. And God, make your face, as it were, verse 31, make your face shine upon me. Your now, outworking all these nows, here's my now, right now, how I feel, think, circumstances, situation, here it is. God, make your face. May I see your smile. That's because it's your now. I want your now. In this now. My times are in your hands. And hang on to that. Hang on to that again. And go over to Psalm 42. And you recall 42, here's David, the understanding ones. It's for us to be understanding, as it were. So, picking up, and the time of Absalom, etc. Now, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is your God? That's what we're looking at. My times are in your hand, God. God, and they want to know where you are. Where am I looking? Where am I finding you, God, in your grace and mercy? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For had I gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God, and the voice of joy and praise, and a multitude that kept holy day. I went to where they were assembled together to honor and worship me. Therefore, worship God, I should say. Verse 5, why then I'm going to talk to myself quickly. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Anxious, disquieted, the mind going in 10 different directions. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help, the healing of his countenance. The word countenance is the word face. Make your face to shine upon me, God. You're now outworking my now. So make, help, the help of my countenance, the help of his countenance, his face. Now I'm going to go to my countenance. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health, the same as in verse 5, help, health, healing, of my countenance, my face, and my God. Verse 5, God's face, smile. Verse 11, my face, and smile. How are you going to work through it? I'm going to work through it with thanksgiving. No temptation, testing, trial, trouble hath taken me, but such as is common to man. And I'm going to go and work it out, God. My times are in your hands. That's what I'm going to do. God, when it's all done, it isn't anybody except your will, your honor, your glory that has to be outworked in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Psalm 31. God's going to look, looking, God's pleased. Remember that, if you would, when you look to God. He's pleased to be God. He's delighted to be who he is. He's delighted to do what he does. We don't want to grieve him. We don't want to quench the spirit. God wants to be God in a most glorious way in our life, if we but let him. God help us. Therefore, verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So God, looking to you, God, you got to help us. Here's David. You got to help us. Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. God, you're right there. God, hide me in the secret of your presence. You're always there. My times are in your hands in a most wonderful way. And God, you're going to keep us. I am. Now, without over if I can, Isaiah. And here's Israel. And if I may, 41, Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham and my friend. Now, what did you do? What are you doing for David? You would do it for Israel, but Israel isn't paying attention. Verse 9. For whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and cast thee away. Fear not, don't be afraid. Why not? For I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. My times are in your hands, God. Wonderfully in your hands to our work itself. And then, God, so that we don't, Israel, they should have, God, just Israel, you should have picked up the wonderful thought in verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, verse 14, thou worm Jacob, ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God, it's a humbling thing. You dummies, you worms, I'm going to help you worms. I'm going to help you. You're made of the dust of the earth. I'm going to help you. You just don't understand. And if I'm willing to help a worm, be of good cheer. I know a little bird cannot fall to the ground without me knowing it. And not one hair of your head can fall without me knowing it. That's what I know. Now, God, in closing, I hope you got a little bit. All we're looking at is what? David had a walk and a talk with God all the days of his life. God blessed him. He blessed Deuteronomy 28. He blessed his going out, and he blessed his coming in. God, that's our lot. So God, here we are. So therefore, over to a psalm, over to John, the Gospel of John, in at least one place. Gospel of John, in one place. You will notice it. Remember, he's the good shepherd, and picking up in the light of all of that context, sliding over, if I can, to verse 26. But ye believe not, the people that aren't believing, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto thee. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm part of the sheep. We belong to the sheep. Verse 27, believers, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And by the way, I and my Father are one, the same hand. That nail-pierced hand is my Father's hand. That's what you want to know. You want to know, I'm holding you. How are you holding me? With a nail-pierced hand. That's a commitment. That's some commitment, dear friend. He died on the cross to make that commitment. Wow. In closing, remember we did it, shared it. One little thing I have. Think of a shuttle, making a garment, and you have the shuttle board and the weaving, or the whatever, and you're weaving it, putting the threads, and you make a blanket, you make something. Okay, in the shuttle board, weaving, spin cheerfully, not tearfully. He knows the way you plod. Spin carefully, spin prayerfully, and leave the threads with God. Here we are, here's our now, and here's our little, we're doing now, and here's our up here. God knows what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. I'm just, here I am. We're doing it. And here's all the little threads. That's all I see is this. How I feel, how I look, how I do. That's all I have. But God sees the top. Leave all the threads with God. I can't answer the threads. I can't answer this now, answering to the next, making the next now, the next now, the next now. I don't know them. I just know that something's happening, and the little threads hang loose. I don't know why they said that. Did you ever tell? I don't know why. I don't know what's happening. God does. God does. Hope you get a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you for your grace and kindness and just everything. God, we just read your word, and God, all about you, all about having a unique, personal relationship to receive you as our Lord and Savior. My times are in your hands. Thank you very much. And no one can pluck us out, God. We belong in your hands. All the time. For all the nows. Thank you very, very, very much. And for those who know you're not as Lord and Savior, God, may they receive you, that they might be exercised and experience the wonderment of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.